Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Dennis Shore, Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, Dorit Bat Sara, Shifra Bat Sara, and Malka Bat Simcha, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Harav Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects I want to discuss on this week's program. Before we get to them, let me just apologize again for my voice. I don't know what I had. I don't know if it's a cold or a virus or what it is. The only symptoms I had was that my voice at times was adversely affected. I feel fine, except sometimes my voice gets adversely affected. So it's something that affects the vocal cords. And you might hear that again on the program this week, even though, again, I feel fine and everything seems fine, except once in a while my voice is impacted by whatever it is. We have two subjects we want to discuss on the program this week. The first is the wave of Ethiopian riots that took place across Israel because an Israeli police officer shot to death an Ethiopian black with a long criminal history. And the second thing we want to discuss is Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren, the two new hot commodities in the race for the Democrat presidential nomination next year, proposing spending at least another $100 billion to give free houses to blacks from the taxpayers, only to blacks because of the color of their skin. Let's start off, though, with the Ethiopian riots. Tens of thousands of Ethiopians were permitted to immigrate to Israel because they claimed to be Jewish. And there was a lot of controversy about whether or not they really are Jewish. Many Israeli Jews still have doubts about their Jewishness. But in any event, they were allowed to immigrate to Israel. And they live in Israel now. And they claim to be victims of discrimination and racism, which is a lie. They're not victims of discrimination and racism. On the contrary, there is racist discrimination in their favor. What we call in the United States affirmative action. In Hebrew, the word that they use is aflaya metakenet, which means corrective discrimination. Aflaya metakenet. And that is in their favor. And yet they claim that they're victims of institutionalized racism and all types of terrible racism. The fact is, they're not victims of any type of racism, and they're getting a lot of benefits out of Israeli society. But in this particular instance, a 19-year-old Ethiopian black with a long history of arrests for criminal activity was shot to death by an Israeli police officer. And that set off a wave of massive rioting, thousands of people participating in rioting and blocking roads, and the whole country was paralyzed for 2 days. Who really inspired all of this? This was really inspired, inspired not by the Ethiopian blacks themselves, although they went along with it, gladly went along with it, but the originators of the idea and the people that really instigated and incited this were the radical left self-hating Jews that run the news media, that run the so-called New Israel Fund, the J Street type Jews. They're the ones that are funding all of this turmoil and that do everything they can to undermine Israel. These extreme left self-hating Jewish billionaires, the George Soros type billionaires, these self-hating, assimilated, intermarried Jewish anti-Semites, Yimach Shmam B'Zichram, Shem Reshaim Yirkav, may their names and memories be obliterated, may the name of the wicked rot. They're the ones who in reality are behind all of the troubles that Israel has. And they own the news media in Israel, and they run the Supreme Court, and they actually control the police and the army and everything else. They control all the institutions, the prosecutor's office, they control everything. And they are committed to destroying Judaism, and they're committed to not having a Jewish state. They really want to tear the Jewish state down as much as they possibly can. But in any event, they encouraged massive protests, what they call protests, which were really violent rioting, where innocent people's cars were burned and destroyed. Innocent people were violently attacked in the street just because of the color of their skin. If they weren't black, they were attacked in the street violently by mobs. Ethiopian blacks were saying that they now identify with the Arabs and with the enemies of Israel. It's just a terrible, terrible situation there now. Let me just start off by saying a couple of things. First of all, Israel did have a history of vicious racist discrimination against the Sephardi Mizrahi Jews. The Sephardi Mizrahi Jews are not black Jews, but they're Jews, but they're, you can say they're brown Jews. They're Jews from Arab and Muslim countries and third world countries who came to Israel, were overwhelmingly religious when they came to Israel, were very, very good, loyal Jews, wanted very much to be part of a Jewish state and a Jewish homeland. And they came to Israel and they were immediately viewed as a big threat by the communists and the Bolsheviks that have control of all Israeli institutions, that control the Israeli establishment. Because the Israeli establishment has been controlled by Bolsheviks since the founding of the state in 1948. And these Bolsheviks, when they saw these religious, loyal, patriotic Sephardi and Mizrahi Jews, they immediately felt threatened by that. And so they began a campaign of taking their children and putting them in anti-religious schools, re-education camps, basically. They lied to the parents. They promised the parents that their children would get a religious Torah education because that's what the parents wanted. And instead, they stuck them in anti-religious schools. Jews who, from third world countries, the Mizrahi Sephardi Jews, who wanted to remain loyal to Judaism, were told, you're not going to get a job, you're going to be starving to death, you'll get nothing unless you do what we tell you to do. You're going to work on Shabbat, you're going to violate Shabbat, your children are going to go to school and they're going to be fed non-kosher food, and we're going to teach them anti-religious concepts, and if you protest, you're going to starve to death because we're not going to give you jobs. Unfortunately, their campaign of coercive anti-religious indoctrination worked with most of the Sephardi Mizrahi Jews, who are not really observant today the way they were when they first came to Israel. So it worked. That's the history with the Sephardi Mizrahi Jews. But the vast majority of Sephardi Mizrahi Jews, despite the terrible things that were done to them by the Israeli establishment, remain loyal to the Jewish homeland, loyal to the Jewish people, loyal to the concept of the land of Israel. Even though the leaders of Israel are traitors who did terrible things to them, they remain loyal to the Jewish people. Now, compare that to the Ethiopians, the Ethiopian blacks, who immediately are siding with the enemies of Israel now and joining with the radical left against Israel now. And that's despite the fact that they were not victims of discrimination the way the Sephardi Mizrahi Jews. The Sephardi Mizrahi Jews were real victims of discrimination. There was no affirmative action for the Sephardi Mizrahi Jews. They didn't ask for affirmative action. They just wanted equality, which they never got. In fact, to show you how bad things were for the Sephardi Mizrahi Jews, 10,000 Jewish babies from Tayman, Tayman is Yemen, 10,000 Jewish babies were kidnapped from their parents. What they did is when their mother gave birth in the hospital, the doctors and the nurses would say, oh, your baby died. They'd say, but the baby was very healthy. We just saw the baby an hour ago. It was very healthy. No, the baby just died suddenly. Give us the body. Let's see the body. Let's see the baby. No, we can't do that. It's against our procedure. The baby didn't die. They kidnapped the babies and sold them on the market or handed them over to anti-religious kibbutzim. 10,000 babies were stolen from their mothers and fathers because they came from religious homes of Yemenite Jews, of good Yemenite Jews who were among the most religious Jews. These are the types of crimes that were committed against the Jewish people in Israel. Terrible, terrible crimes. The Ethiopian blacks that came to Israel never experienced any of this. They never experienced any of the racism, the real racism that the Sephardi and Mizrahi Jews experienced. They never experienced this. The Ethiopian blacks got free housing, free school, free education, free everything. And again, affirmative action discrimination in their favor. But they insist that the reason why they lag behind and have lower IQs and lag behind in every area is because of the color of their skin and because there's racism against them. That's what they say. A story that we're familiar with in the United States from American blacks. Same story we get from American blacks. Which, of course, it's a lie in the United States as well. There has not been racism, institutionalized racism against blacks in America for 50 or 60 years now. There has not been. For more than a half a century, the racism in America has been in favor of blacks, in their favor against whites and Asians and Jews and groups that perform well and that work hard and that get good grades and that achieve. Those are the ones being discriminated against because of racist policies, because of affirmative action, which is a racist program. But anyway, same situation in Israel now with the Ethiopian blacks, who immediately joined these massive protests when this 19-year-old Ethiopian was shot to death by a police officer, an Ethiopian with a long criminal history. He was shot to death by a police officer, and they immediately said, oh, this is a racist killing, and so on and so forth. And of course, the left immediately grabbed this issue, and the left immediately participated together with them in all of these riots and all these disturbances that took place all over Israel. This is the situation we have in Israel today. The New Israel Fund, the J Street people, all these self-hating scum, low-life, Erev Rav traitors. They're allowed to come into Israel and do it. They run the country. A Jew like me is not even allowed to make aliyah. I'm not even allowed to set foot in Israel. I'm not even allowed to visit Israel. While Arab terrorists like Arafat and tens of thousands of armed terrorists were welcomed into Israel, millions of Arabs who say that they want to destroy the Jewish state, they're allowed to live there and get all types of subsidies and benefits and goodies from the Jewish taxpayers. And radical left, self-hating Jews, they run the country. That's the situation we're in. That is the situation we have today in Israel. And of course, I just cut a video in Hebrew saying some of the things that I'm telling you now. We're the only ones telling the truth to the people of Israel, the only ones who dare to tell the truth. No one is telling the truth on this issue. Even Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party, on this issue, they're not really telling the truth. They're also talking about how unfortunate it is, the situation with our Ethiopian brothers, and so they're not really telling the truth of what's really going on. We're the only ones. In the end, when there's a real politically correct situation where someone has to get up and tell a very unpopular truth, JTF is the only group that's going to do that in Israel or anywhere else when it comes to Jewish issues and the Jewish people. And the situation we have in Israel today is not that different from the situation that we've seen for many years in the United States. But before we get to the United States, I just want to make one other point. I am a Jew of Egyptian, Moroccan, and Polish ancestry. I don't know if ancestry is the right word, but my family came from Egypt, Morocco, and Poland. On my mother's side, from Egypt and Morocco. On my father's side, from Poland. So I'm half Mizrahi and half Ashkenazi. But that doesn't mean that I identify with these countries that my family came from. I don't identify with Poland, a nation that murdered millions of Jews during the Holocaust and that for 1,000 years hated the Jewish people and persecuted the Jews, always jealous, hateful toward the Jews. I don't identify with the Polish people, God forbid. I don't consider myself to be Polish. I'm a Jew. Unfortunately, my people lived in Poland because they didn't have any place else to go. Unfortunately. And the Poles tortured them and raped them and murdered them. And in the Holocaust, murdered millions of them. And to this day, many Poles still blame the Jews for all their problems, even after they murdered all of the Jews in Poland. And the same thing's true with Egypt and Morocco, two Muslim Jew-hating countries. I don't identify with Egypt or Morocco. Unfortunately, my people had to live in those countries. And those countries exploited the Jews and tortured them and murdered them. And in recent history, tried to destroy them in the land of Israel. The Egyptian army, the Moroccan army waged war against Israel in 1967, 1973 in an attempt to destroy Israel, 1948. But I don't identify with them. I'm a Jew and I'm loyal to my people. And the Ethiopians who came to Israel, instead of identifying with the Jewish people and identifying with Israel, they identify themselves as blacks. They consider themselves to be blacks. And their loyalty is to blacks in Africa and America. They love Barack Hussein Obama. They love blacks like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. And they love the rap and all the horrible culture from the United States and from Africa. They don't identify with the Jewish people. They identify with blacks whose leaders and organizations in America and Africa are enemies of the Jewish people, are anti-Semitic, and that's who they identify with. So there's a real problem here. There's a real problem here. And it's a problem, again, that we're going to have to address eventually, because it's going to come to a head, and eventually we're going to have to address this problem because it is a threat to Israel. This is just another one of the things that the Erevrav Jews, the self-hating Jewish traitors who run Israel, have done to the Jewish people. Just another one of the things that we have in this terrible generation. And again, all of it was predicted. Be'acharit hayamim, in the end of days, that you're going to have evil people, rulers over Israel. Terrible things are going to happen. A generation that's going to be blind and sinful and not follow the ways of Hashem. All of this was predicted. This is what would happen when we return to Israel. So all of this is right in line with what was to be expected, but it's still terrible. It's a terrible situation, because if the Jews didn't do this, if the Jews did do the right thing, we would have redemption immediately. As our beloved Rabbi, Harav Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzaddik V'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, as our beloved Rabbi Kahana always said, the Mashiach, the Messiah, is knocking at the door. The miracles of Israel, the miracles of this crazy people, surviving, even though they're outnumbered 100-1 and the whole world wants to destroy them, and they survive and win six-day wars. I mean, these are miracles of biblical proportions. This is right out of the Bible, these victories and these miracles. And they don't even want to survive. They're so crazy they don't even want to survive. And we don't see that this is all the hand of God, that this is all right before the final redemption. All of these miracles, all of these great things that we're seeing are a demonstration of the fact that the Mashiach would come immediately. The Mashiach is ready to come. He was knocking on the door in 1948 when he created the State of Israel against all odds. The Jews were outnumbered 100-1 in that war and survived and beat back 7 invading Arab armies. The Jewish state had only 600,000 Jews at that time. And in 1967, when the Jewish state defeated the whole Arab world, came with their armies to attack Israel and promised to push the Jews into the sea. And Israel again prevailed, and this time, tiny little Israel defeated the whole Arab world. And In 6 days, Israel quadrupled in size. Israel's four times its original size in just 6 days. Where do you see victories like this? Where do you see miracles like this except in the Bible? The Mashiach, the Messiah, was knocking at the door, as Rabbi Kahana used to teach us. He was ready to come at that time, if we had been ready. And he's ready to come now. But the Jews are not doing the right thing, and that's holding back Geulah Shlema, which is the final redemption. That's holding back the final redemption for the Jewish people. So our job, of course, is to try to wake the Jews up as much as possible. In the United States, next year we have a presidential election. And unfortunately, as we've mentioned many times, Israel will be affected by it. It shouldn't be. Israel should have leaders that do what the right thing to do and without worrying about what the nations of the world demand, because we have Hashem, we have God. But, of course, the Israeli leaders are basically puppets of whoever is president of the United States. And so we're facing a real danger next year. We don't like Donald Trump. We think he's a phony. We think he's a phony. He's an ignoramus. He's not a real friend of Israel. He's not a true friend of Israel at all. He, in 2 seconds, would stab Israel in the back if it was something beneficial to his name. You know, for his ego, he would gladly impose a suicide agreement on Israel as well. But thankfully, so far, he's very ignorant. He's not involved with the issue. He doesn't know much about the issue. He's assigned Jared Kushner to do it. Let's hope Jared Kushner fails, of course. But in any event, the Democrats are much worse than Donald Trump. And the things they're proposing are so crazy. This is just an example of how radical the Democrat Party has become, how far to the left they've become. The two new hot commodities in the Democrat Party, as I've called them, Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris. Because Joe Biden, I don't know if he's going to make it. I mean, he's being attacked by everybody in the party now, and I don't know if they want a guy in his late 70s who was with, after all, he was only with Barack Hussein Obama, a Muslim anti-Semite, as president. That's not radical enough. So we'll see what happens. But right now, the hot candidates are Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren, two extremists who are running on platforms that are absolutely insane. And one of the things Kamala Harris just proposed, and Elizabeth Warren already had proposed this weeks ago, Kamala Harris just proposed giving $100 billion in federal tax dollars to blacks to buy homes. Now, there already has been a program for many years to help blacks with purchasing of homes and to forgive black debt and allow blacks to buy homes and have mortgages they can't afford, and then their debt has to be forgiven by the banks. And the federal government cracks down on the banks if the banks don't forgive the blacks. I mean, just the whole thing is a horrible nightmare. But Kamala Harris is saying now that we should take another $100 million from white taxpayers and hand it over to blacks so that they could have homes. That's her latest proposal. First of all, let's understand something. We have seen in the United States of America and in the Western world in general, the two biggest transfers of wealth in human history. The first big transfer of wealth was to blacks in the United States. Trillions of dollars in federal programs since the 1960s to help blacks. And never has so much money been spent with such dismal results, with such laughable results. But trillions most of the domestic federal budget is basically to help blacks and other minorities. It's not helping white people in most cases. And the results, of course, are, again, ridiculous. And the second big transfer of wealth was to the Arab Muslims with the oil. Trillions of dollars was given to the Arabs to pay for their oil which we didn't need. We could have been energy independent many years ago. We could have developed alternative sources, and we could have developed our own energy sources in the United States. We didn't need a single drop of Arab oil, but we gave them trillions of dollars from the United States and the Western world, because the big oil companies made a lot of money, made a fortune pumping oil in Saudi Arabia and in these other foreign countries, Iran and Saudi Arabia. Because of the oil companies and their interests, trillions of dollars were taken from American and Western consumers and handed over to Arab Muslims, to the Arab Muslim world. Biggest robbery in human history. So these two gigantic transfers of wealth, literally robbery that has taken place, historic robbery. Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren are not happy with what the United States and the Western world has done. They're demanding that at least another $100 billion be spent and handed over to blacks to buy homes. And by the way, let me just repeat what I just said. The proposal of Kamala Harris is to give $100 billion from the federal government to blacks to buy homes. In other words, only based on the color of your skin, you will have money to buy a home. If you're a poor white person in the Appalachians, or some poor white person who can't afford a home, you get nothing from Kamala Harris. Not, by the way, I don't think anybody of any color of skin should get money from the federal taxpayers for housing. That's not what the federal government should be there for. But only blacks are entitled to this. In other words, this is a completely racist, this is the most racist proposal anybody could ever make. The color of your skin must be black and you get a free home. If you're white, you get nothing. You get bupkis. I mean, this is the most racist proposal anybody could ever make. It reminds me of the racist proposal of what Bill Gates, Yamashmo, another animal, what he did. Bill Gates gave $1 billion gift of free computers to blacks, but you had to be black to get a free computer. If you were a poor white, you got nothing. If you're black and rich, as long as you're black, you get a free computer. This is, again, the most racist thing you could possibly do, and shows how hypocritical, how fraudulent, how evil these people are that speak about civil rights and equality and racism. They're always talking about how they're against racism. They're the biggest racists in the world. They're the worst racist hypocrites on the face of the earth. They're going to give $100 billion now to people just because the color of their skin is black, so that they could buy homes? This is what's being proposed. And when you add that to the other proposals, where all the candidates on the stage said that they were against, that they were in favor of eliminating penalties, any criminal penalties for crossing the border illegally. In other words, they're going to legalize coming into the country illegally. What do you think will happen if the United States does what Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Beto O'Rourke, and all these other communists who are running for president? What do you think will happen if coming into the country illegally is decriminalized and no longer is a violation of criminal law? What do you think is going to happen? What do you think that will lead to? You don't think that's going to lead to a massive flood of more illegals coming into the country? Hey, this is absolute national suicide for the United States. The United States is already committing suicide even under Trump. Illegals are still coming in. The numbers of illegals is going up every day under Trump's presidency. He has not solved the problem. But what the Democrats are proposing would bury the United States much faster. That's just the reality. The United States would become a third world banana republic much faster if the Democrats took office. They want to decriminalize coming into the country illegally. I mean, if someone crosses comes into your country against the law without permission, that's going to be decriminalized. I mean, that's in effect saying it's okay. You can come in. There's no penalty. It's fine. Do you realize how radical this is? And you have Democrats saying that even the fencing that you have on the border should be torn down, and that ICE, the one agency that supervised over the border, should eliminate all powers for ICE and stop ICE from being able to function. And that's like inviting billions of people to come flooding into the United States. These candidates running are so radical, and what they're proposing is so sick. I can't even begin to describe how sick it is. I hope that everybody understands the full dimensions of what we're talking about here. And so I don't, right now, unless Donald Trump proposes something suicidal for Israel in the political part of his so-called deal of the century, if he does, then all bets are off. But if he doesn't propose something suicidal for Israel in the deal of the century now, we probably are going to have to support him as a lesser of the evils. Because the Democrats running are just so atrocious and so hostile to Israel and to the Jewish people, and their programs for America will destroy America very quickly. If you look at the price tag of the things they're proposing, they want to eliminate all college debt, in effect make college free for everybody, like in communist countries. Although in communist countries, most people never go to college. They never get to go to college. But in this country, they want to have a situation where everybody will be able to go to college, and all for free. Who's going to pay for all of this? The country is already already going to go bankrupt the way the United States is spending with trillion dollar annual deficits. It's madness. Madness. And that's why JTF has to be there. JTF has to tell the truth, because nobody else will, whether it's in Israel or whether it's in the United States. You know we're going to tell the truth, even if it's unpopular, even if it's politically incorrect. I know that all of this seems like a very gloomy picture that we paint when we tell you about these things, but just bear in mind, long term, think long term. In the end, the good guys are going to win. Hashem, God, promises us that. The Messiah will come, the Mashiach will come. He will redeem the world. And the bad guys are going to be destroyed. Destroyed! That will happen. We got to be doing everything we can to wake people up and to bring the redemption closer, as fast as possible and as painless as possible. That's our job. That's what we're in this world for. And that's why, if we work together as a team, we can make this a better world, Be'ezrat Hashem, God willing. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.